Hello, I'm Humphrey Littleton. Welcome to the Comedy Hour on Radio 2. In half an hour, I'll be the host for I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. But first, here's a chance to hear one of the great comedy classics.
We present Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Melle, and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
One and nine pence halfpenny. I should have more than that on a Wednesday. See, there were cigarettes, half a pint of bitter last night. Dinner, sweet, and a cup of tea today. 1 and 11. This cost of living is getting ridiculous. Break into half a crown, there's nothing left.
Letter for you, Tut.
What does it say?
I don't know, I haven't read it.
Oh, that makes a change, doesn't it? What's the matter? Wasn't the kettle boiling? Give us it here.
Perhaps it's a bill.
If it's more than 1 and 9 pence halfpenny, they've had it.
Well, open it and see.
Oh, dear.
What?
It's from a solicitor. Have you been caught hanging around the nurse's home giving my name again? Oh, wait a minute. It's not you. Here, listen to this. Listen. Dear sir... We regret to inform you that your great-uncle, Ebediah Gladstone Hancock, passed away last week. Would you kindly call the above office at your earliest convenience, where you will hear something to your advantage? Yours in the deepest sorrow, Macduff, Macduff, McIntyre and Macduff. Solicitors at law. Poor dear old Uncle Ebediah Gladstone.
I didn't know you had an Uncle Ebediah.
Neither did I. He must be one of my father's lot. Dozens of them all over the place. I've never seen them. They dispersed. In 1904, just after the trouble.
Trouble?
With my grandfather. Shocking affair. Music hall artist marries into the aristocracy. One of the three Tarzans, a strong arm, act you know.
Your grandfather?
My grandmother. Ah, but the scandal. My great-grandfather, the prince, was disgusted. He was very proud, you see. When he died, he didn't leave a penny to any of them.
Why not?
He was skint.
Well, anyway, come on. Let's go round and collect the money.
Please, William. How can you talk of money at a time like this? My great-uncle Ebediah has died. The least I can do is to go into mourning for a suitable period. All right, that's long enough. Come on.
Up. We'll see you in a moment, Mr. Hancock.
Thank you, my dear.
Are these your suitcases, Mr. Hancock?
No, they're mine.
Well, you can take them home again. They won't have it in cash. Anyway, what are you getting worked up for? It's nothing to do with you. It's my money, my own personal private tragedy. And I'm the one who's cashing in on it.
But Tub, I'm your pal. I want to share in your sorrow.
Now, I'm deeply touched, but not to the extent of 3 suitcase bills.
Mr. Macduff, we'll see you now, gentlemen.
Good. Quick sniff of the onion water. Run me Yankee under the tap, and we're set. Forward march!
Ha-ha! Money! Riches! All mine.
Mr. Hancock to see you, sir.
Ah, Mr. Hancock.
Oh, how unhappy I am. Great Uncle Ebediah gone and never called me nephew.
Why did it have to be him? Why was he taken from us? Why did he have to go now? Why? Gone, tell me why,
He was 108.
Well, there you are. I thought he was here to stay.
Well, now, Mr. Hancock, on behalf of my partners and myself, I would like to extend our heartfelt sympathy to you and your tragic bereavement.
Thank you. It's very kind. How much?
These occasions are always sad and a source of considerable sorrow to we lawyers.
Yes, yes.
Good health.
How much?
And somehow I feel a personal loss.
Aye.
I looked after all his business interests. I'd known him for years. We became very close friends.
Tragic.
He was more than a friend to me. It was a brother.
There, there. Don't take on, sir.
Now he's gone. Gone.
Here, sit down. Have a drink of water.
I'll be all right in a minute.
You must be brave. You mustn't give way. After all, life must go on.
I'm sorry.
You have to face up these things. We all have to go sometime. Wait a minute, whose uncle was he? Going on there for? How much did he leave you?
Nothing.
Oh, what are you carrying on for then? Oh, come on. Come on now. Let's hear the good news. If it comes up to expectations, I'll give you saxpence myself.
Very well, here we are. The last will and testament of Ebediah Gladstone Hancock, to be read only in the presence of my no good nephew Anthony.
I was always his favorite.
He writes, "Dear nephew Anthony, being a Hancock myself, I know just what you're thinking at this moment. How much has the old faggot left me?"
"Never, it hasn't crossed my mind."
"Liar," he goes on. Yes. He says, "I know just what's going on through your mind, so I won't keep you in suspense any longer. I decided a long time ago that you're the only one of my relatives whom I consider worthy of leaving my money to, which will give you some idea of what a rough old lot the rest of them are." "I'm sorry about this, Mr. Hancock."
"No, no, he's right. They're money grabbers, the lot of them."
"To continue, I therefore name you as my sole heir and accordingly leave you the sum of £40,000.
Ah! That's it! Our knees up by the pound! Our knees up by the pound! Here we are! Oh, oh. Come on, man, get your knees up! Oh, my butt! Here we go! Ha, 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 ha.
Mr. Hancock, will you kindly get down off my desk? There is more to come."
"More? I should have sent a bunch of flowers." "How much?"
"Not money, provisos."
"Hello?"
He says, "I have always been a great believer in family life. A man is not fulfilling the duty for which he was put on this earth while he remains a bachelor. I have therefore instructed my solicitor that the money will not be paid to you until you take to yourself a wife. As soon as you marry, my solicitors will send you a check for the £40,000. Mr. Hancock! Mr. Hancock! Come back! Mr. Hancock!"
"Andre, for many months now, I've loved you to desperation. Will you marry me?"
"No."
"Gladys. Marry me and make me the happiest man on earth."
"You'll be lucky."
"Mabel. Mabel, it's you I love, only you. Will you marry me?"
"Oh, get lost, fatty."
"Oh, come on, Andre. Be a sport and marry me. Stop messing about."
"No, Tony, I can't. I'm sorry."
"But what's wrong with me? I'm not a bad catch for a young girl. Woman. Better looking than some of them. Come on, what about it?"
"Oh, Tony, please. I've never thought about you in that way."
"What way?"
"Well, as a lifelong companion, looking after me, keeping me in sickness and in health, taking me everywhere with you, buying my clothes, paying for my keep. I hadn't thought of you in that way."
"I hadn't thought of myself." "It's the husband bit that interests me."
"You'll have to give me time to think it over."
"Certainly, you can take all the time in the world. I'll be back when the pub's closed." "I'm going to have another go at Gladys."
Having.
All right, then. Sid.
Brown.
Bill.
Scotch.
Brown ale, scotch, and a pineapple juice. I don't know what I'm going to do, lads. There's not a woman in the district who wants to marry me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I know dozens of dolls who'd marry you.
Any girls you know, I don't want to.
Perhaps I could help you. I know a few.
Yes, the mothers are the one he goes around with.
All right, it's up to you.
I was hoping you might have some ideas.
Well, it seems obvious to me the best thing to do.
What?
Go to a place where girls congregate. Then you can meet some and get to know them.
Yes, that's a good idea. Get among the girls. Let's see. There's the annual meeting of the League of Militant Suffragettes next week.
You've got to go for the younger stuff, Tub.
What have you got in mind?
We'll go down to the Palais. There's loads of girls down there.
The Palais?
The Palais's a perfect place to meet a girl. Do you realize 16 out of 20 women meet their husbands in dance halls?
Yes, and I bet they don't have to get a bashing when they get home.
Now, come on, Tub, let's go down there. Why, you may find just the girl you're looking for.
Yeah, romantic, innit? Just think, the future Mrs. Hancock may at this very moment be leaning up against the bar with her elbow in a puddle of beer.
Oh, charming. Well, anyway, if we're going, I'd better go home and put my tails on.
Tails? At the Pally?
Certainly. I want to look my best. Me patent leather pumps. Give me white gloves to rinse through. Little number card on me back, I'll be well aware.
They'll laugh at you.
They don't laugh at Sid Perks. And there's not much to choose between us, I can tell you. I leave him standing in the Bombay two-step. What? Me feet going round like helicopter blades.
Look, we'll go down as we are. Well, it'd be much better if you had a pair of drain pipes, but still, look, tousle your hair up a bit in front. Yeah, that's it. Now, swing your keychain about. Here's a bit of gum.
Good, that's it. Now, can you walk like Robert Mitchum?
No, not really. I should say, me, I'm sort of more the Lon Chaney type.
All right. Look, can you talk like Robert Mitchum?
No, I do a fair one at George Arliss, though. Any good?
Oh, blimey, he'll be lucky if he gets off with the old girl in the ticket box.
Well, what do you think of the place, Tub?
Oh, come on, let's go home. I feel like Marty standing here.
Well, why don't you ask one of the girls to dance?
It's no good, Sid. I feel out of place. It wasn't until I walked in here I realized how old I am.
Oh, don't be so silly. There are men here much older than you are.
Yes, I've seen them in the corners and in the suites round. I just don't fit in here, that's all. I'm fed up with chewing this gum. Nearly swallowed it 3 times. Swinging this perishing keychain's getting on my nerves. If I don't look what I'm doing, it wraps around my fingers and lands me knuckles in my head. Oh, let's go home.
No, oh, you're just not trying, Hancock. I'm doing all right. I wait for the excuse me dances, and I go up to the bloke who's dancing and tap him on the chin.
You're supposed to tap him on the shoulder.
Go on, Tub, have a look around. See if there's anything you fancy. Hey, how about the little blonde over there in the off-the-elbow blouse?
Oh, the one who keeps dragging it up her arm.
Yeah.
No, I don't see her as my wife. Can't somehow see her serving biscuits with the vicar. Did you get me meaning?
Well, hey, what, and what about that tall bit over there in the polka dot skirt?
Where?
The one who's just turning round. Oh, darling. No, perhaps not.
Hey, there's one for you. The girl in red, standing over there in the shadow.
Well, leave her there. She knows where she's best off. Look, I'm going.
Wait a minute. Look. There you are. There's your girl.
Where?
Standing by the band. The one in the tartan skirt. Just your mark.
Yes, she's a bit better, isn't she? Hang on, I'll have a go. Oh, well, that's that.
No luck?
No. He got a wife in Glasgow. Look, don't let's bother. Let's just leave it alone. If I leave now, I might just catch him coming out of the suffragettes hall.
No, don't give up, Hancock.
You'd be most helpful. You've tried, but it's just not going to work.
Why not? It's got the right atmosphere.
Oh, yes, very good. I agree. I mean, those blue, yellow and red spotlights that keep whizzing round are most effective. The girls can't decide whether I'm suffering from cold, jaundice or blood pressure. I'm going home.
Look, just give her one more chance, Hancock. And when the next dance starts, go up and ask somebody. That one over there will do. That one standing by herself.
All right, then.
Go on now. Now
excuse me, madam, if your dance card isn't full up, perhaps you... Perhaps you would do me the honor of awarding me this quick step.
Oh, blimey, get him.
Yes. Yes. A brilliant conversationist.
Tub, swing your key.
Swing my key.
Give her the Robert Mitchum stuff. I told you the right way to ask him.
Oh, yeah, right. Hey, baby.
Are you kicking me?
Yeah, put your arms around me. Let's glide, huh?
Oh, all right, Tub, let's jive.
Robert Mitchum does, doesn't he?
Of course.
Well, shut up, then.
You really are a neat hoofer, aren't you?
Come on, Futrex. Catch this crazy stuff. Watch the feet. Oh. I'm terribly sorry. I do beg your pardon. Did my foot kick you in the stomach?
Oh, Joe, I didn't know you were here.
Do you know him?
He's my boy. Joe, this is a surprise.
Shut up. I'm very displeased, Stella, to see you here. I thought you weren't coming here tonight, but I find you dancing with another citizen. Who's the creep?
But Joe!
Will you shut up, Stella, for a minute? Please stop yakking. Will you beat it? Drop dead or something. Go home. I'll handle it.
Dear, straight from the blackboard jungle. It's the blonde one, West. It's him.
Hey, Flab. What do you mean by dancing with my girl, huh?
Well, it was quite harmless. I had no idea.
Shut up, will you? Now, would you care to step outside with me, huh?
Well, I'd have to get a pass out.
For why? You won't be coming back, Mac. You ought to be ashamed of yourself coming to dance halls to pick up young girls and old man like you.
Old man like me? I'm only 30.
You want I should pin your ears back?
You wouldn't hit an old man like me.
Sid!
What's the matter?
He's gonna hit me, Sid. Don't let him hit me, will you, Sid? Go on, Sid, thump him. I'll stand over here and watch.
Are you looking for trouble, son?
Are you gonna give it to me, huh?
I got a good mind to ram your teeth down your throat.
Oh, yeah? I think I'll call the boys over. Hey, fellas, fellas over here, fellas. Trouble, fellas.
Look, it's all of them. They're all coming over. I've never seen a hokey-cokey break up so quickly in my life. Quick, Sid, Bill, run for it.
Blimey, we were lucky there. I didn't think we'd get out of that lot alive.
So much for the romantic dance halls. What am I going to do now? Wednesday, I'm still a bachelor. How am I going to get my money?
Well, I can't help you anymore. You've seen all my luck.
Yeah, I've got nothing else to put forward.
Well, that's it then. Let's face it, I'm just repugnant.
Yes, I know. Well, you can't help it. A lot of ugly little fat blokes get him at it all the time. Why should you be any different?
I don't much care for the trend of this conversation.
Look, there's only one thing for you to do, Tub. You'll have to make one final effort with Andre. She's your only hope.
I've already tried. She's not interested.
Because you didn't go about it in the right way.
Well, what do you suggest I should do?
Easy. There isn't a dame in the world who can resist a proposal of marriage in the right atmosphere. Give her the full treatment. Dinner in your flat, candlelight, champagne, romantic music. I see you in the red smoking jacket, the silk scarf, and the long cigarette holder. A bit of talcum on your hair just above the ears. Because remember, we've got to play for maturity and experience here. A girl of her age loves it. Just think of yourself as Anton Walbrook and you'll be all right.
Come in, my dear.
Tony, it's very kind of you to invite me around for dinner like this. Why, Tony, you look different.
Do I?
Oh, yes. You look so mature, distinguished, so experienced. Oh, but you might have brushed that talcum powder off. It spoils the whole effect.
Let me take you around. What exquisite shoulders you have.
And that beautiful neck.
Hairpin. It's stuck on my palate. Hit me on the back. Oh, dear. Orchid. Hey, here's an orchid. For your dress. A corsage.
Why, it's beautiful. Just like the ones growing in the park greenhouse.
Oh, yes, most odd. Just pin it on.
Tony, I've just noticed that lovely smoking jacket. It's new, isn't it?
No, it just looks new on me.
very good quality for 57 and 6, isn't it?
57 and 6? Dear Charles, this is 35 guineas in Burlington Arcade.
Oh, it says 57 and 6 on the price tag.
Where?
On your sleeve. Temper. You should have levered the little wire clips up first. Now half your sleeve's gone.
Oh, where's Miss Paltz's coat? This isn't working out at all well.
Champagne.
Of course. Nothing but the best. Do you like champagne?
Oh, I love it. What year is it?
Bollinger 34. I searched all around the cellar, but this is the only thing I had to suit the occasion.
Oh, be careful as you open it. You don't want to spill any.
Don't worry, a little goose. I've spent my life opening champagne bottles. It's simple. You just get the cork between your two thumbs and just put a little... Tea, Indian 55.
Never mind, Tony. The thought was there.
Oh, well, it's the heavy stuff or nothing now. Andre, this is so romantic. Doesn't that music do something to you?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Doesn't it awaken something in you, something that makes you realize you're a woman?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does.
It's working. Listen to it, Andre. Let it seep into you, consume you. Let yourself be gently. Hang on, I'll kick it. It's just not my day. I'll switch the radio on. Remember the music, Andre. Keep thinking about it as the mood. Just where I wanted you. Hold on, the light program, romantic music. Oh. That's romantic, that is, isn't it? Alastair Sim music. At a time like this, we'll do without the music. I'll put everything I've got into it now. Your last chance. Andre, I love you, do you hear? I love you, love you, love you. You're the only girl I've ever felt like this about. Come on. Oh, no.
Come in! Good evening.
That's it. That's me lot. I'm finished. The mood is now stone cold dead. What do you want?
Well, I'm looking for Mr. Anthony Hancock.
He's gone away. He doesn't live here anymore. Hard luck. Shut the doors, you go out.
Ooh, but where's he gone?
I think he's gone with Hillary to the South Pole. If you hurry, you might catch him around the Falkland Islands. Goodbye.
No, stop messing about. This is very important. I've got a message for him.
All right, leave it and I'll send it down by Penguin.
Oh, no, I must give it to him personally. I'm from Mr. Macduff, the solicitor.
Yes, well, come back in 1957. I think he's got a couple of hours off before he paddles up the Amazon.
It's about his uncle's will.
Yes, well, I'm sure he'll be... What about his uncle's will?
Oh, I can't tell you anything. I have to wait till Mr. Hancock comes home.
I'm Mr. Hancock.
Oh, hello. Did you have a good trip?
Yes, thank you. Now, about this will.
How's Mr. Hillary?
He's very well, really.
Oh, I won't
give
you, because you'll be wanting to get off at the Amazon, won't you?
Now, I'm going tomorrow instead, the canoe's leaking. What about this will?
Oh, yes. Well, it seems with this will we made a bit of a mistake.
Oh, did we?
Yes. You know that last will and testament of Ebediah Gladstone Hancock we read to you?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't the last one. We found another one. He's changed it.
He hasn't left any money after all.
Oh, yes. He's left the money, like. I've got the new will here. It says, I, Ebediah Gladstone Hancock, hereby revoke all previous wills made by me. He's a bit of a boy, isn't he? Yeah, you know what? Cost him $5 every will he makes. He don't care, do he?
No.
Good, I don't mind. Well, it's things like this to keep our office going. The more the merrier, I say.
Read the will.
Yes, all right. I have decided it would be unfair of me to leave my money to my nephew Anthony on condition that he gets married.
Oh, good. I haven't got to get married after all. No. Good old Uncle Glad. Mm.
So instead, I've decided to leave the £40,000 to the girl who marries him.
The girl who marries me? Why?
I'm coming to that, Vic. Control yourself. £14,000 for the girl who...
Thank you. The girl who married me gets £40,000,
yes. They'll all be after you now when they hear of this.
Yes, they will, won't they? After all the trouble I've had trying to persuade somebody to have me, I think I'll get my own back a bit. Next.
Marilyn.
No, sorry, dear. Saw your last film, didn't fancy you. Next.
Sabrina.
Next.
Lola Brigida.
No, I wouldn't be able to understand a thing she says. Next.
Andre Melly.
Yes,
Lola. Oh, Anthony.
Andre.
Darling.
Dearest heart. I'll never leave you. Well, it wasn't a happy ending. Good night.
This has been Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Merry, and Kenneth Williams. Incidental music was composed and orchestrated by Wally Stott and played by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The show, which was recorded, was written by Ray Gordon and Alan Simpson and produced by Dennis Main Wilson.
Hancock's Half Hour was presented by the BBC.